кстати.
Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. Talking about getting old, I went to the credit union yesterday to go withdraw some money, and there was an elderly man in front of me, and he got in and went and stopped right in front as soon as he got into the credit union, and I didn't want to be waiting behind him, so I passed him, and then I got convicted. I said, "Sir, you go first." And immediately he says, "Trini." That was an old policeman that I used to work with in the West Side. He's 85, and it really broke my heart because he had been a Marine commando, very strong. He's the kind of guy you would want next to your side if you ever got into a fight. Nobody could beat him. He was so strong. And yet I see him now barely walking. It just broke my heart. But we're all heading in that direction. But let me read to you a verse that we all know very well on Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, and sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers unto his harvest." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your precious word that you left us, the commands you left us, Lord, to guide us and lead us in this life, that we would not be barren. We thank you, Father, and we pray that you help me to preach and teach thy word. I pray that above all things, that you receive all the honor and glory, because only thou art worthy. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You know, this is a very familiar verse. I'm sure it's probably read in every mission conference in the U.S., probably for hundreds of years, probably been recited and read. But it's worth it to look at it and to meditate on it and to see exactly what the Lord is telling us. Because what he told the people at that time, his disciples, is just like telling us right now today. The same thing that he saw at that time is the same the way people are at this moment. I don't think it has changed. And of course, the first thing I want you to notice is that Jesus is contradicting all the people in America today who bring out all these polls. And I checked on the internet just to make sure. And sure enough, he says that America is 75% Christians. But he says also in 1990, it used to be 85%. And that always has bothered me. And of course, you can read that about every country. They'll tell you so many percentages Christians and so many are this and so many are that. And many times, of course, they take it from the when they are going to vote or wherever they put down their what religion they belong to. But the Christians, a lot of people call themselves Christians, and they're not. And what Jesus saw, and I think it would be the same thing today, if he would come and speak to us and see the multitudes, he would tell us the same thing. They're fainting. They don't have a shepherd. And this is something that bothered me from the first time that I heard that the poll said, or the survey says. In 1969, when I first started college, my first course, I used to hear the professor say constantly, the poll says that so many percentage of people believe this way, or this percentage believe this way, and I would always wonder and say, where do they get that? Do they talk to everybody in the U.S.? How do they know how people feel or think? And it used to bother me, and it still bothers me today. But this is what they want to say, the response is that the survey says, the polls say, and it's just their opinion that they're giving you. Just like when every time they speak bad about our president, well, the poll says that so many people don't like this. They don't like what he said over here and over there. But you know, the thing is that I don't believe it. I think if they need to give polls and say exactly who's lost and who's not, or who's a Christian and who's not, they need to get on the streets. They need to go and check themselves. And I never find anybody on the streets asking somebody, are you a Christian? Are you saved? Are you going to heaven? I've never been approached. But let me tell you who actually went and he checked, and that's God. You might not have thought about it. I just thought about it yesterday, and I looked it up, and I remembered the story in Genesis 18 when the Lord appeared to Abraham, and he was on his way to Sodom and Gomorrah. Let me just read it to you. He said that the sin was very grievous. He had come to check. And on Genesis chapter 18, verse 21, he says, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. God came personally. He was going to conduct his own survey. And of course, he brought in two assistants, two angels with him. But then the next thing you know is the angels that take off and go, and they don't have a pencil and paper. They're not asking nobody any questions. They just went there. God already knew what it was. They hadn't repented. So he sent them over to go and get Lot and his family, whoever he could, which wasn't many. That means that all the people in Sodom and Gomorrah were lost, and they were destroyed as an example for us to see. Later on in the scriptures, we see when Jesus came, he said, just like in the days of Noah, so will it be in the last days, in the days of the Son of Man. In other words, if Jesus saw and that they were all lost, they're all lost today also. Now, I never went and made a survey, but I've been on the streets, just like Brian was saying, ever since I got saved, 6 months after I got saved, I just felt the urgency. I needed to go and tell, just like somebody had told me. And there's no doubt in my mind that it didn't come from me. It was the Lord pushing me and saying, you need to go. And I did. I answered the call. I began going in the south side, and eventually I covered the whole west side. I can name you the streets, but of course, I used to patrol those streets. I know them. I covered all the west side, and then I went to the south side, and I did it systematically. I can give you the streets where I started, where I ended, from north to south, from east to west. I covered practically the whole south side, the whole west side. Now I'm in the north side. Now I get a lot of no answers. No wonder the Lord says, and the poor get the gospel preached. Those that are better off, they don't want to talk. They don't want to be bothered with somebody with the Bible. No wonder they told the Apostle Paul when he took out with his partner, don't forget the poor. I feel at home when I'm in the west side or south side, any place where I see a little bit of more humble homes. Because this is the response that I get. But you know, that's not the only time. And I've gone all over San Antonio. I've gone to Mexico. I've even went to Spain. Before I retired, I was thinking of being a missionary in Spain, so I paid him a visit. I was all over in Madrid. The man that I went to go visit didn't want to accompany me. He was a Christian, a missionary, but he left me alone. But I went all over the place giving gospel tracts, talking to people. You know what I found? The same thing I find in San Antonio. Hardly nobody saved. In Mexico, the same thing. So when Jesus saw the multitudes, he saw them fainting. He acknowledged right away and said, these are like sheep without a shepherd. That's how it is. That's how it's also going to be. Not only that, but in Matthew chapter 7, when he was giving the Sermon on the Mount, he also made comments about the same thing. He said in chapter 10, or rather in chapter 7, he says on verse 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He goes on to say, when after they have given their excuses and said all the wonderful work that they had done and the devils that they were able to cast out, he says, and then I will tell them, I never knew you. What a shame. We also see earlier in that same chapter, chapter 7, verse 14, he says, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. In other words, what I hear from Jesus, and he can't lie, he's telling you the truth, Old Testament, New Testament, not many people will make it to heaven. Of course, as far as we're concerned, the Bible says no man can count. So that's quite a few. But in comparison to those that are going to hell, it's a few. This is basically what the Marines like to say. They say they're the few, they're the proud. They're the Marines. The Christian soldier says, we're also the few, we're the humble, and we're the saved by grace. Amen. Nevertheless, beloved, the Lord says that there will only be a few. And we need to see, and this is why I brought this verse, because we need to see the multitudes the way Jesus saw the multitudes. He didn't see him as all saved. He didn't say about 80% of these people here looks to me like they're saved. The other 20 I think will also accept me. Instead he says they're lost. They need a shepherd. They're fainting. And we need to be able to look at this world and say the same thing. We need to take God at his word. We are to not just relax like the last church in the Bible, the Laodicea. The Bible tells us that that church will say, we're increased with goods. We're in need of nothing. But that's the church. We are the church. But we're also individuals. And we don't have to be that way. We need to continue, we need to support, we need to sin, we need to urge, we need to encourage those that can go. It's extremely important that we see the multitudes the way Christ saw the multitudes. The second point I want to bring to you is on verse 37. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. That means it's bountiful. That means it's a whole bunch. I mean, there's many. And you know, when I go on the streets, I wasn't taking a survey, but that's been my observation, just going door to door. And I've gone to thousands of doors. I haven't stopped. And of course, just like it is in the scriptures, the harvest is during the summers, not in the winter. I also go down on the streets during the summer. We start in the spring. We in on the fall. But it used to be that I used to go year-round, even in the wintertime. Me and Ambrosio. We go knocking on the doors, and it was already late. We had to carry flashlights. And then finally I got convicted. I said, good grief, somebody's going to shoot me thinking I'm a burglar. So I had to stop. I had to do it the way the Lord tells us here. It's summertime. This is when we go. But plenteous harvest, this is what he saw. That means it's in abundant. We need to look at it that way because that's how it is. All the way to the end, Jesus already said it's going to be like in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, they weren't saved. And this is consistent with my experience being in the streets. We've knocked on so many streets, including the housing projects. Every housing project in the west side, even the ones that have been taken down, we went to every single block and we preached there. We gave them tracts. I knew where their dope connections were. I even knocked on their doors and I would invite them and tell them, hey, we're going to be out here in a few minutes preaching. One time, we were preaching at this dope connection, and by the time we finished, there's about 30 dope heads waiting to make a connection. They needed to buy heroin. But they wind up having to stand there and sit and listen to us. Man, what a blessing. But now I'm in the north side. It's a little bit different. The other day I went to a house. And it was right next to Amanda's house. I knew Amanda lived next door. She was the last house on the block because she had invited us to go eat not too long ago, so I knew where she lived. And we're going down her neighborhood, and the last house was going to be the one next to her. Nobody had opened doors. Nobody wanted to talk, but her next-door neighbor did. He came out, and I could tell in his attitude he was mad, upset. And he asked me right away, what's the gospel? Tell me, what's the gospel? And I said, well, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. That's the one that saves you. That's the one that which by which we stand. That's the one that the apostle Paul told us. Now, where is it located? He didn't know. So then he says, how do you demonstrate that you have the gospel? I said, well, you accept Jesus by faith, and you're saved by calling upon his name, repenting of your sins, and his spirit comes into your heart. He says, no, it's by baptismal. I don't want to see you all no more. Slam, close the door. So now I'm telling Amanda, you need to go visit him. But you know, the thing is, the last week when we were out on the streets, and it's like this just about every single time. We come to a house, and every time I leave, I say, we came just for this house, just for these people. Because there's always somebody wants to know. And we came across a man. His name was Guillermo. We've been praying for him. And it so happened that he was looking. He wants some answers. Somebody had already planted the seed. Somebody else had already watered. Now he needed some questions answered. And we arrived, and good grief. I'm not going to bore you with the conversation, because that went for about an hour. But this is what I go for. I'm looking for somebody that's hungry, somebody that wants to know, somebody that wants me to show him from the scriptures. What does God have to say about this? And man, let me tell you, we're so encouraged. We're expecting him Sunday, but as you all know, 99.9% never show. But if he don't, Tuesday we're going to go again. Amen. We need to go talk to him. But you know, the thing is that this is how it is. My third point that I want to bring is the last one. On verse 38, where he says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Pray ye. That's the command that God gave. Now, why would he say pray? You know, my friend, we're supposed to go and plant. We're supposed to go and water. But it is Jesus, the one that brings the harvest into the barn. He's the one that saves. He's the one that gives us the increase. That's why it is so important that we go. But we go with prayer. It is so important because this is the only way that people will get saved. It is our job to go. There's no time to quit. Just because we see the day approaching when the Lord will be coming, just because we see so much discouragement in this world, we ought not to get discouraged. Amen. This is not time to retreat. This is the time to go forward. Because real soon, when the church is gone, and the Lord will take us, just the same way he took the people out of Sodom and Gomorrah. The angels told him, look, you need to come, because we cannot bring destruction until you're out. The Bible says that the Lord knows how to deliver the righteous in the hour of temptation. I know we'll be gone. And when we're gone, the prophecy of Jeremiah 8:20 will come to pass. What a sad commentary. But he says in Jeremiah 8:20, he says, the harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we're not saved. Those are going to be the words. That's going to be the sentiment of those who remain. The harvest is past. The Christians are gone. Everything that is Bible has been taken away by the Antichrist. The summer is ended. And we're not saved. And anybody here that has done any kind of farming or picked any kind of fruits, you know that if you leave the fruit or the harvest in the fields and you don't pick it, it goes to waste. I'm an expert at being in the fields. I grew up picking cotton. And if we hadn't picked it, that cotton would have gone to waste. I also traveled to other states. I went all the way to Minnesota, and we worked in the fields over there, in the beet fields, in the potatoes. We went to Wisconsin to pick up strawberries, pickles. And if you don't do it, it goes to waste. That's why the Lord appropriately titled this the harvest. You don't pick the harvest, it goes to waste. And the day that this becomes fulfilled is because the Christians are not here anymore. There's nobody to go and water. There's nobody to go and plant anymore. The harvest will end. It'll be past and the harvest, the summer will be ended. And they'll say, and we're not saved. What a shame. And then the prophet says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician? Gilead was a small town close by. Let me tell you what the answer is. There is balm in Gilead. The balm is the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, who cleanses us from all sin. When it's all said and done in the book of Revelation, he says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's the balm. There is a physician. The Holy Spirit can come in and heal them. The reason they're lost, they rejected the Lord Jesus. And what a tremendous example he gave them in the Old Testament to put up that that pole of the brazen serpent, and all they had to do was look and live. And then Jesus used it again in the New Testament. He said, just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth shall have eternal life.
Thank you, Lord.
All they have to do is look.
Thank you, Lord.
There is balm in Gilead.
Amen.
There is a physician.
Amen.
Jesus Christ went to the cross. He died and paid for all our sins. But you know, we need to look at it from his eyes. And when he saw the multitudes. Don't believe the polls. Don't believe what they tell you in the internet or anywhere, that 85% or 75% are saved here and there and everywhere. They're lost. I saw it in Mexico. The brothers see it in Poland. I saw it in Madrid when I went. I went to two different cities, Madrid, and I was also in Alicante. And I witnessed and I talked to people. I'd get on the buses and everybody I'd talk to. I get on the plane and I'm talking to somebody. People are just lost. But there is balm in Gilead. It is the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, who cleanses us from all sin. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.